shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words shall not pass away. I want to share some thoughts with you tonight on the words of Jesus. I remember, and perhaps I've told this story before. After a while, you forget where you've told them at. But when we were going to Bible college, we would go down to Fort Leonard Wood, and there we'd witness to soldiers that were, for the most part, when they graduated from boot camp, they were going over to Germany, and they'd send them to Germany so that Mama didn't worry, and then they'd take them across the tarmac and put them on another plane and take them to Vietnam, unbeknownst to Mom for a little while. But most of them knew when we're out of boot camp, we're going to Vietnam, and of course, it was a bad place to be at that time of history. And so talking to them about eternal things was really pretty easy. We had some massive results and some wonderful things as we talked to people about the gospel. And at that time in history anyway, there was a plan in the government where if you came to the United States and you did some military service, it drastically shortened the time it would take you to become a citizen of the United States. And so there were many people from South America and even from different places in Europe that would come over and would join the military with the idea of cutting the time that they could become an American. You see, they realized there were blessings to being an American. And there still is blessings to being an American. And so as I was witnessing one day, I came across this young man who, he could speak English, very broken English. And as I tried to talk to him about the Lord, he kept looking up and kind of pulling towards my Bible, and I couldn't figure out what he was doing. And finally he said, "Let me see your Bible." And I showed it to him, and he thumbed through it, and he said, "There's no red in here." I said, "No, there's no red in there." He said, "I only believe what's in the red." Meaning he wasn't going to believe anything except the words of the Lord Jesus, is what I finally came to realize. And so I had to go and find another one of our fellows that were down there with us that had a red-letter Bible and come back and find him. And boy, his eyes lit up, and I could visit with him and talk with him. And winning him to the Lord was simple when he knew I was telling him what Jesus said and not what some denominational system said or what some preacher had to say, but I was telling him what the Lord Jesus had to say. And so tonight, we understand that the words of the Lord Jesus are very important. We don't talk very much specifically about the words of the Lord Jesus. We talk a lot about his birth. We talk a lot about his life. We talk about his death. We talk about his hands. We talk about his blood. We talk about the resurrection. We talk about his ascension. We talk about him coming again. But we very seldom just isolate the words of the Lord Jesus and find out what they really mean to us. And I hope it's an encouragement to you tonight as we look at some of these words. In John chapter 5 and verse number 47, Jesus said, "But if you believe not his writings, if you believe not Moses' writings, how shall you believe my words?" And Jesus was saying, listen, if you're struggling with the Old Testament and the veracity and the authenticity and the accuracy of the Old Testament, you're going to have problems believing what I say. And so Jesus said, Jesus put his stamp of approval on the writings of Moses. And then in John chapter 12 and verse number 47, he said, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And then in the following verse, he says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." In John chapter 14, verse number 23, the Bible says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And then in John 15, verse number 7, Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." And so there's power just in the words of God. The things that Jesus said are very important. He didn't waste time saying unimportant things. Now, how many people do you suppose have been encouraged when they heard Jesus in John chapter 14 say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." What a wonderful, I've heard that time and time and time again at funerals and so forth, and sick beds and so forth, where people are struggling with just really having more concern in their life than they ought to have. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. What a wonderful thing. And then how many people have come to Christ with the words, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know, if Jesus were to pick and choose, when people came to him and said, well, no, I don't like you. You're too fat, you're too thin, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too bald, your hair is too long, you don't smell right, you don't. And if he picked and chose, what makes you think that we'd be ones that he would choose? How many people have rejoiced in the truth of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? And then how many people have been brought under conviction by the words when he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And then how many people have been comforted in times of sorrow when they hear Jesus say, it is I, be not afraid. If you're hungry tonight, I say, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. If you're thirsty, Jesus says, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. If you've lost a loved one, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you have someone who is wandering away, and they used to serve the Lord, but now they're out of the fold, we were reminded that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. If you have someone who's lost in darkness, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if you find someone who's wanting truth, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. And then if you find somebody that's wondering, oh, where to go, which way to go, they're wondering, they're questioning, what should I do, where can I go? Jesus said, I am the way. And then, of course, if you find someone on their deathbed, Jesus said, I am the life. Wonderful things that Jesus said. As we kind of try to build an outline of the things that Jesus said, we find the first words that Jesus said in the book of Matthew, that his first words were, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, he was talking to John the Baptist, and they were talking about him being baptized. And we know Jesus didn't get baptized in order to wash any sin away, because he was sinless. He didn't do it to fulfill a tradition, because the tradition hadn't come across yet. He did it, the Bible says, to fulfill all righteousness. And I believe that Jesus put his stamp on the importance of baptism. Not because it'll get you to heaven, it won't get you to heaven. But if you're going, it is the answer of a good conscience towards God, the Bible says. And so Jesus' first words in the Gospel of Matthew is, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In Mark, he said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And so right into the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said the necessity is repent and believe. Absolute essential. Repent and believe. And then in Luke, he said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Jesus had gone to town with his parents, 12 years old about, and he had stayed behind talking to some of the learned men, the wise men of his time. His parents had gone on. They were separated for 3 days, and his mama kind of chided him a little bit. And he says, Mama, 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 listen, wish ye not, I must be about my Father's business. And of course, at 12 years old, Jesus realized and knew for a fact, knew from before the foundations of the world, that he was going to come into the world, take upon himself the form of a human being and die, that human beings might live. Jesus said, I had to be about my Father's business. And then in the Gospel of John, the first words he says is, what seek ye? What seek ye? And I believe tonight, if you're an honest seeker, if you're really looking for the truth and you're honest before the Lord, he'll lead you and he'll guide you and he'll direct you. Jesus said, what seek ye? When we think of the last words of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, first, before we think of his last words, let me emphasize the importance of last words. The last words of Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson was a president that we don't think very much about, don't talk very much about. But his last words were simply this. They said he gave out a sigh and said, John 3:16. He didn't repeat the verse. He didn't beat on his chest. He just said, John 3:16. You know, that says a lot about a man who knows he's dying. And then a fellow by the name of Daniel Webster, when he was dying, he simply said, Amen, amen. So be it, so be it. And then a fellow by the name of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a famous preacher in Chicago and had just a real different kind of a ministry. And he had some heartache. One of the heartaches that he had was younger in their lives, two of his grandchildren had passed away. D.L. Moody was on his deathbed, and when he was just ready to die, they said he struggled trying to set up, accomplish that, but he put his hands out and called to these two grandchildren that had already passed away some years before that, and smiled real big as if he were receiving them into his arms. Last words are important words. Certainly important words. The last words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew, if you're looking for strength, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." What kind of power could we need that Jesus doesn't have and the authority with it also to give us that strength? In Mark, if you need an assignment, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Someone said, "You know, I was talking to several times, I've had it happen. I was talking to people and somebody, they'll say, "Well, you don't have any business talking to me." And I said, "Well, the Bible says I'm supposed to give the gospel to every creature." And they don't usually respond real well to that creature part of it, but it's what the Bible says. And, you know, somebody says, "Well, Brother Sutton, do you always have a good response when you try to witness to people?" My wife and I were shopping the other day, and we finished our business, and I took out a business card and tried to show it to this lady, and I showed her where it said life. She said, "Uh-huh." And I turned it over where it said death, and she almost shrieked. She said, "That's terrible. That's terrible. I don't want that thing." I laid it on the corner of the cash register, and I'm sure before we got out the door, she had thrown it away. But that's up to her. We gave her the gospel, so that's up to her. If you need an assignment, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." If you're looking for a reason why, Jesus said in Luke, he said, "Thus it is written, thus it behooveth Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." It behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And if you need a vocation, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "Follow thou me." What better job could we have than to follow the Lord Jesus? Oh, we might have to do something. We might have to, make tents or sell tinsel or something to feed ourselves. But what a wonderful vocation to follow the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says we are to walk worthy of the vocation whereunto we're called. The next words of the Lord Jesus. Do you ever stop to think what's the next words of the Lord Jesus? What's the next thing that Jesus is going to say? Well, the Bible says that he's going to come in the heavens and he's going to come with a shout. Somebody says, "Well, what kind of a shout?" He's going to say, I believe, according to Revelation chapter 4, he's going to say, "Come up hither." And for a southern translation, that's, "Y'all come. If you're ready. If you've been born again. If you've been saved." And then, of course, there's the present words of the Lord Jesus. If we could put our ear to the heart of the Lord Jesus and catch his heartbeat, his pulse, his excitement, his desire, what would he say? In Matthew, I believe he'd say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Oh, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm talking to people tonight. I know, even here, much less out there, no telling how many people out there, they're struggling. And Jesus simply says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Jesus can give rest in impossible situations. You think not? What about Peter when he was under arrest? He's chained between two guards. And yet at night he's sleeping because he knew Jesus had things under control. My Navajo preacher friend, Brother Marvin Long, he said the reason Peter could relax is because Jesus said, "When you are old," and Peter looked around and he got to thinking, got his calendar out in his mind, he got to thinking, "I'm still a relatively young man." He said, "I know I'm not going to die, so I can relax. I can. Jesus told me that when I'm old, people will take me where I don't want to go and so forth, but I'm just a young man now," and so he relaxed. Jesus said, "We can relax with him." In Mark chapter 5 and verse number 19, Jesus said to the maniac of Gadara, he said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Do you suppose tonight that there's someone in your home, someone in your circle of influence, that the Lord Jesus would just be thrilled to death if you'd sit down and write them a letter, send them an email, send them a text, make a phone call, go knock on their door, talk to them at work or whatever? Jesus said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Has the Lord done great things for you? God says, just tell other people. I wonder if there aren't some times when Jesus would say to us, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How can he be our Lord if we're not doing what he says to do? You remember when Peter was up on top of the roof and the sheet came down and a voice from heaven said, Peter, arise and eat. And the sheet opened up and it was full of all kinds of what were by diet they were forbidden for the Jew to eat. And Jesus said, not so, Lord. You can't disobey him and him be Lord at the same time. And so Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Is there something tonight that God has been wanting you to do, God has been insisting that you do, encouraging you to do, working it out to where you'd he's trying to get you to want to do it, and you've said no and no and no and no and no, and then Jesus tonight, if we sit down and talk to him, what'd he say to you? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In John chapter 15 and verse number 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen to this. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, Jesus said. Oh, listen, if we just remember that, if we could just let that soak in through our minds and down into our hearts and saturate our minds and our hearts, our thinking and our actions, without him, we can do nothing. We can't take the next breath without him. We'll never get home without him. We'll never get up in the morning without him. We want to see great things happen, but they won't happen without him. Oh, how we need to hear the words of the Lord Jesus as he speaks to our heart. And then as I search the scriptures, the very last words of the Lord Jesus, I think, are very important also. In Revelation 22 and verse number 20, the Bible says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Tonight, Jesus would have us to understand and know that he's coming quickly. Now, he didn't say he's coming soon. He said he's coming quickly. And when Jesus comes and we realize that he's on his way or he's here, we're not going to have time to, we'll be worse than Lot. Lot had time to go tell his sons-in-law. We won't have time. In a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be out of here because he's coming quickly. And the words of Jesus should motivate us to do now what we're supposed to do now, because when Jesus comes, there'll be no more now opportunity to do on earth what we should have had already done. Let's bow our heads tonight, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.